Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Education Show on the Total Education Network. Again, remember, go to my website, TotalTutor.org, for more information. Well, always enjoy this segment when I get to talk to my co-host. And I'm a tired guy, and we all know why I'm tired, but I've not mentioned that to my audience because I've been recording lots of interviews still going through this process. But I want to welcome back to the program, Jarrett. Jarrett, how are you?
I'm very good, Neil. And how are you guys all doing in your household?
Oh, we're doing good. It just seems like always I have to interview people a couple days after the baby. Yes, well, my wife did have our fourth child, Max Joseph Haley, 7 pounds, 19 inches tall, not as big as my other girls. So, but we'll see if Max can measure up to the girls or maybe even come close to being as tall as me someday. We'll find all of that out. But Jared, yeah, we're doing okay. And it's a process, and I'm only doing a few recorded interviews right now with people, and then back in the swing of the radio biz next week. But all right, Jarrett, I'm excited tonight because I thought, you know, we're almost like closing the chapter, how many different segments we've done with our parenting book. And I thought, let's kind of close it up. We're in the parenting section, but let's talk about the word smile and how important it is for parents to smile with their kids. Explain that importance.
Well, you know, it's so significant and perhaps even coincidental that this is our topic today, because during my sessions with families today, that was one of the things that I touched upon with them is, you know, praise doesn't need to be overblown. You know, it doesn't need to be a token system. I said, simply smiling at your child is enough praise. I mean, that's all they need. The smile is really critical to connecting with your child, even at the earliest ages. I saw a child yesterday, and I showed a parent, an infant, 5 months old, Neil. It was absolutely amazing. And I showed the parent how the child, this infant, would mimic the facial gestures that the parent was doing, opening and closing the mouth, sticking out the tongue, and then smiling. And this parent was, not exaggerating, blown away.
Oh, absolutely. I would be blown away as well, Jared. I would say to myself, I cannot believe this, but that's how important the smile is. And I think it starts at the earliest age, and that's a great point that you made about now with my son Max. Anytime I smile, he's going to learn to smile back. At first, it's going to be gas at this age, and we all know that. But see, a lot of people don't read these parenting books. When I first had Ava, I read it cover to cover. I was a developmental therapist, but I was working with the older kids. And then once I had Ava, I started to understand this, but it's just educating people to understand how important the smile is, because that's our first way to interact with our children.
That's exactly right. It's, you know, to stress to the listeners that we have, the parents out there, the educators that we have, the therapists that listen to the show, that smile is really the first emotional connection that you make with your child. Up until that point with the infant, you know, feeding, changing the diaper, those are really all basic needs. Now, they are critical to developing that bond, that attachment with your child. But the smile is really the first emotional connection that child makes with a parent.
Exactly. And I think that how we can teach them the importance of a smile, but I think a smile goes all the way anytime in parenting, because a lot of times kids can just, that changes their whole outlook. And one of the important things that I've learned in my life is the more you smile, the more people are going to want to open up to you, the more they're going to want to communicate with you, the more they're going to be willing to have a conversation with you. You could be this person that says, hey, hi, how are you? But if you don't smile, Jarrett, guess what? That door doesn't open up. So how can we engage our kids using the smile?
Well, as you, again, let's go back to infancy. If your five-month-old, four-month-old smiles at you, you know, it's almost reflexive. I've never met a parent who has not smiled back at their child. But that's where it starts. Your child smiles at you. you return that smile. As you approach your child, you smile, you call their name. Now, as they get a little bit older, the smile is really used as a reinforcement technique. You know, again, it doesn't need to be a pretzel rod, a piece of candy, simply that smile, you know, connected with an oral language. I really like what you did here. That made daddy, that made mommy very happy. And you show that by smiling, just as if you are displeased with your child, you would show that in your face.
Right. Showing that smile, what an important thing, Jared, because then they kind of, that's that first praise. That's that first reinforcement. And it's not this, oh, you did such a great job. The kid's looking at the smile. The kid's looking at, is mom, dad happy? Because that's such an important key thing, that your children need to feel safe. They have to feel that they're being loved. Even if it's the hardest day in the world, if mom or dad can smile at that child's going to be willing to conquer the world.
Well, and that's exactly right, Neil. What you have touched upon is, and research has shown this, especially with children at the, you know, 3, 4, 5-year-old age, and not so much with teenagers. I mean, techniques obviously have to change at that point. But children at that age base right and wrong on the parents' reaction. So we've discussed this, and I know it'll be addressed in our book. But a child, and I don't want to, you know, go on too long about this. I know our time is limited. But a child at 4 and 5 years of age, even 3 years of age, will base right and wrong on the parent's reaction. So now the child has tried to help with a task, you know, putting away dishes, and they break the dishes. Even though the child was attempting to do something good, the parent's reaction, which, you know, obviously would be to scold and perhaps, you know, not acknowledge the actual positive component of it. The parent's reaction would determine for that child whether it was good or bad, right or wrong, punishable or not punishable. So by connecting your actions with a smile, you're really letting your child know that what they have done has been a positive experience.
So first of all, you talked about, to kind of rehearse what you've talked about so far, kind of give a summary, is you talked about, first of all, responding to that smile that your child gives you when they're 3 months, 4 months old. Then the importance of when you are praising them, directing them to give them that smile. But how else can we utilize the smile? Because I think that the smile at times can be at a time when things are really tough. And if mom or dad can smile, it really makes things easier.
Well, sure. Let's now take a child at, you know, 2, 3 years of age, perhaps even younger, who is looking to persevere through a task that is tough. You know, let's even say a child who at 18 months is really working towards self-dating, more some of those independent goals that they might be working on. That smile may be just enough to let that child try it again. You know, you try to put on your shoe, you failed. And we would never say that to a child, but, you know, that's exactly what has happened. They failed. You know, a child, as they're approaching 2 years of age, could easily throw that shoe right across the room.
Right.
That smile may be just what that child needs to simply say, you know what, let's try this again. And that child may respond to it. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. And this is why you begin the whole process, you know, at 1 month, 2 months, and continue to develop it.
Exactly, Jerry. I think that's the really important thing, is constantly to do it. And to do it over and over and over again. And I know we're dealing with a lot of storms out here. Luckily we're getting through this interview, as I hear the background, and we have thunder and lightning coming out. I don't know, my mic, it's an interesting animal, and luckily the power's not out. I remember I was interviewing somebody a couple weeks ago, and bam, the power went out. But the thing about it is, I guess, like we've said before, it's a process. Parenting's a process, because a lot of times you are going to be angry. We have a tough world we're living in right now. Parenting is not an easy thing. It's a hard job. And also our society today, what's going on with our administrations and what's going on with our economy, what's going on with everything, that we're not going to be the happiest in the world. And then even with our jobs, people are going to tick us off. But when we get home, we have to put on that smile. And it's not, it can't be a fake smile. It has to be a smile that, you know what, I really love you and I really want to be with you and I want to spend as much time as I can possibly. Because I guess the mental part of this is the key. If kids don't feel loved, what happens, Jarrett?
Well, you know, they're going to develop insecurity. Their attachment is not going to be the way it should be. It's not going to be a secure attachment. That's going to affect how they take risks. It's going to affect how they perceive themselves. You know, that there's no question of all the things that a parent can do, developing that emotional connection with your child is absolutely the most critical. With that, you can have an easygoing child who's, you know, not necessarily a big risk taker. You can have a child like mine who will take any risk, is very adventurous, very spirited, which presents itself with quite a few challenges. But, you know, what you're looking for is really to make that emotional connection. And the great thing about the smile is that that's all you need. That's all your child needs to feel loved, feel reinforced. You don't need candy. You don't need food. You don't need money. That simple smile of saying, wow, you really made me happy is really all a child needs.
What about if a parent smiles at their child and their child frowns? What do you do in that situation?
You keep smiling. You know, let's face it, you have some older children. You know that a five-year-old is going to look at you and say at some point, I hate you. I don't like you. I don't like what you've done. At that point, again, it's tempting as it would be to say, you know what, I'm not too crazy about you right now. you need to say, I still love you. And that will make a difference for your child. It really will.
Exactly, Jarrett. And I completely agree. It's that situation where we go and we have that opportunity. Here's a little story to finish off, just for parents out there saying, oh, you know what? Everyone must love Neil Haley, the Total Tutor. Well, we know for a fact on other shows they don't. But when my children, my daughters were away while my wife and I were in the hospital with our new son, it was very interesting to hear that my one daughter was being really nice to her uncle. Uncle Tim, I love you. My daddy's mean. So there you go. That's what I got to hear coming back. And I'm like, you know, Anastasia knows how to push the envelope, and she's pushing it more and more. Luckily, she's potty trained now. I guess it was a perfect time to start when we're going to have these wee hour nights. But that's just to tell you, how do you respond to that? Except give them more love. And I think, and here's the thing, Jarrett, what people could do is the ones that are liked a lot, they think, oh, I'll just give in more. And guess what? The one like myself that's not always going to be loved, or it's going to be told, I don't like you because I never got everything I wanted from you. Well, guess what? At one point when they're adults, they're going to be much more happy because they're going to find out that life doesn't give you everything. So that's the key.
Quite honestly, nor should it. You know, as I say to my son and I say to people around me and I say to parents is, once you've gotten everything you've wanted, then what? What's left?
Exactly.
There's nothing left. And, you know, that's one of the kind of the key phrases that I use. If you get everything you want, what do you have left?
Exactly. Well, okay, Jarrett. Well, we can find definitely more information on Jarrett by just checking out the show every week on the network. The ratings keep going through the roof, and always enjoy our conversation. I have no idea who the other interview is going to be with. I have some big time celebrities lined up. A lot of them don't want to talk education. They go into the one show, the Total Education Spotlight Show, where I interviewed two Olympians this week. So it's amazing the interesting people I get to interview, but we're looking for another interesting guest. We're hoping we have that celebrity on with you, but we had somebody on from the UN last week. So everyone needs to tune in. So I appreciate you calling, Jarrett, and we'll be in touch, okay?
All right. Thank you, Neil.
All right, take care, Jarrett. All right, that was Jarrett. You're listening to the Total Education Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Show on the Total Education Network. Remember to go to my website, TotalTutor.org, for more information. Well, Jarrett, this is a quick segment, and this is always good for our book, and excited to always have the opportunity to talk to you. And I thought tonight's topic, which is really timely, would be something that I think that lots of kids do. They blame others. And I have some tips and strategies to make sure any age, but I think we start at an early age to teach them that blaming people is not right.
Well, Neil, that, you know, the funny thing about what you just said is at any age, I mean, let's take a look around at our society. I mean, what do we do when things go wrong? We blame others. You know, the economy's not working the way we want it to, we blame others. Our job's not going the way we want it to, we blame others. So if we as adults do the same thing, why would we expect our children to do anything less?
That's so true. And I think this is one thing that frustrates me more than anything. And learning my faith and growing and maturity and wisdom, I've learned I'm not going to blame others for my mistakes. And even if it was not my fault, I'm going to take the blame. And I think that that's important, but you can't do that. You have to teach that. Luckily, through a lot of hard knocks where I always blamed others and I always said, it's not my fault. It caused me not to maybe be a headliner in wrestling, even though I was one of the best wrestlers in the world. It made me, I mean, if you would watch that tape when I had my tryout with the WWF, I should have got picked up. I looked bigger than the two guys, but I had an ego. So, and I blamed others. Oh, you messed up that spot. Oh, you did this. Or, no, I can't do this. So I thought, let's go right to this. And I think the first model, and we talked about this all the time, is we cannot blame others. And if is and that means parents, when we get home and our kids are have a notebook, I've said this before, at 6 months and they're jotting down everything we're doing. If we blame others for things, for example, blaming your spouse is one thing you cannot do. Okay, I can't believe you did this. Now, first of all, if you know your spouse did it, you don't want to blame them in front of others. And then the other, go ahead.
Well, in what you have addressed is exactly right. You know, from a psychological standpoint, when we blame others, we're looking to reaffirm our own competency. And, you know, for our listeners, what we're talking about is our own self-worth, our own value. So it totally makes sense that a child of, you know, my son's 5 years of age, and he often will look to blame me, my wife, others for anything that kind of goes wrong. But what he's really saying is, and this is absolutely accurate, what he's really saying is, I'm not competent. And we do that as adults.
True. And I think that's really the issue. Let's just give an example. You make a big mistake, and I can't stand blaming. So that's the first thing, is we cannot blame our spouse. Another thing is, even if somebody did something wrong, we don't want to blame them in front of the rest of the kids. Because what happens is it shows that we're complainers, we're whiners. And as adults, we say, I can't believe that that person, the trash man, left the trash cans like this. Or I can't believe that someone doesn't have the air conditioning on. Blaming the kids, blaming others, because what happens is the kids see in this and say, oh, I can get out of things. The way I'll get out of things is blame others.
Well, that's, you know, again, and that goes back to our own feelings of self-worth. You know, but what we're addressing here is, how do you help your child to avoid blaming others? And, you know, one of the first steps that you can do is, you know, and we'll use this from the textbook definition, is that is providing your child with enough support so they feel like they can do it. And then that way you can, it doesn't happen overnight, but you know, that way you can avoid this notion of saying, I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy enough, so I'm going to pass it on to the next person. You know, it's absolutely something that takes time to develop. And again, all we have to do is look at our own society. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the television and look at a political ad.
Right, exactly. And they blame others. And that's, right. And I think that people that blame others are never going to be successful. Yeah, political, that's a setup of mudslinging, Jarrett, and we can talk about that on another show, but not
sure.
Especially providing these tips. So that's so far those. But then I think the other thing after we do this, we need to engage in a conversation when we do catch our child blaming others. Going and pulling them aside and saying, are you sure? Do you really believe that's a nice thing to do? And teaching them that saying mean things or things that could hurt others, because let me give you an example. Let's say my 7-year-old blames my 3-year-old about spilling milk. What do you think Anastasia is going to feel like, Jarrett?
Well, of course, let's go back to the term we've already used, competency. She's going to reflect that on her own personal self-worth. You know, at 3 years of age, they do not have the cognitive capacity to be able to discriminate whether they did it or they didn't. So she's actually only going to look at, your 3-year-old is only going to look at whether she was in trouble or not.
Exactly.
Whether it comes from the parent or another child. I've seen this with many children, even as old as 5 and 6 years of age. What you will begin to see with those children is they will judge right and wrong, not about whether the action was truly right or wrong, moral or not moral, but whether they were punished or not.
Exactly. So that's when we intervene and we have a conversation. At the youngest age, Jarrett, meaning like a 2-year-old, they're interested to understand and say, if you correct them at an early age about blaming others and say it's not right. I think a lot of times what blaming leads to is gossip as well. And gossip is something that really does not help anyone. Gossip leads to complaining. Complaining leads to whining and moaning, which you just don't want. And then you don't want that teenage years, and you don't want that as an adult either. And I think that a lot of times if we would walk in to a teacher's lounge, we would hear complaining and blaming. The teachers would never in the teacher's lounge say it was their fault for something. They'd always blame the student. And that's
student,
just
parents, it could be anyone down the line. You know, the bus driver, the students, who starts the day so early. I mean, it's just a long list of what you can defer blame onto.
And a lot of times blaming leads to lying. Because if you blame somebody, but really it was your fault, you're a liar. And a lot of people can kind of spin it around saying, no, I'm not lying. I'm just blaming. It's their decision. Well, wrong. It cannot be that way. And I think the last situation is that there has to be consequences for blaming. A specific consequence of, you know, a little time away, maybe losing a toy or certain things, especially when it's just a negative thought process. You want to have a happy, cheerful home. And if you don't make your house a happy, cheerful home, and you aren't, and hopefully your spouse and yourself are not blaming, the children hopefully won't blame. But ultimately, if there is, there has to be intervention. There has to be some sort of consequence, because we don't want our lives to become like that. Because if we continue to let it be that way, Jarrett, I'm sorry, it's just going to be a complete mess and a big situation down the road. So again, this is a very quick segment. I like the sometimes these 10-minute segments that kind of get people some train of thought, and I appreciate you bringing in your knowledge in this conversation, and really excited about all the syndication. And I really like to be on that we're on in London, England. I find that so cool, and I know that the station owner just is so happy that we are now an international talk show, that really we can just go ahead and go to this website, and you go to mytotaltutor.com org website. You'll find out about all the different syndication, and I'll be tweeting about it and all those different things. And it's great. You're my co-host. Can't wait till the book comes out very, very soon. And I'm so glad you do another segment with me. So thanks for calling.
Well, thank you, Neil. And I mean, our listeners know that very soon we'll have an ebook, we'll have a printed book that they really can refer to really help them, guide them with, you know, producing a child that will give them the happiest results and the most well-adjusted child.
All right. Well, thanks again for calling the program, Jared. Take care.
Thank you, Neil.
Bye-bye. All right. That was Jared. You're listening to Total Education Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment with some more great education talk. We're back to the Total Education Show on the Total Education Network. Oh, wow. Two great tip segments with Jared and I. The blaming game and the smile. Two things that we need not to do. One thing we do need to do, while the other we don't, blaming. Now, the smile. To talk about the importance of smile, lighting up a room, making people excited wherever you do, if we all would smile as teachers, and this is out for all the teachers out there, if we would all smile, our lives would be much better as teachers. We would be happy, and our kids would be happy. The thing we hear all the time about, that don't smile till December. Don't let them see you smile till December. That is a sad, sad case scenario. So parents out there, promise me you're going to smile at your kids. Teachers out there, promise me you're going to smile at your students. Everyone, let's all smile at each other. Life will be a great thing. So the two segments today, again, are going to be used for the great book, the Total Education book, that will be coming out in November. I hope to announce it very soon, the launch date. I want everyone to go to my website, TotalTutor.org, to find out more information. What types of guests would you like to be on the Total Education Network? What types of tips would you like to be part of this show? Email us. We'll definitely consider those tips and to use them on the show. Next week will be some very interesting ones, as we're really going to go into the whole thing about, again, college, preparation for college, ninth graders, some exciting times coming up with ninth graders. And it's still in this process of the media blitz to try to find the right celebrity for the next show. Great education talk. Only place you're going to find it is on the Total Education Network, especially the Total Education Show, one of the fastest half hours in education talk. Email me, nhaley at totaltutor.org for more information, or you can call me at 412-523-0289 for a free phone evaluation of your child. And I can help you right now. If you have trouble, you need an educational advocate, I will take on the politicians. I will take on the school districts. I'll take on the school boards. I'm not afraid of anyone. All I want to do is help you. So contact me. We can shoot the breeze, whatever you do. But next week, more great education talk. Jarrett and I are going to talk about, again, that college process. And then we're going to have some other great education guests on the program. I just am really excited about the growth, the amazing growth of the network. We're now 80-plus stations, and this fall I'm going to be on those phones to get more stations to carry the Total Education Network. So if you only get a couple shows on the network, call your local call your local internet radio station and say, we want the Total Education Network 7 days a week. No doubt about it. We want it 7 days a week. I hope everyone has a fantastic day. We'll talk next week with some more great education talk, and I can't wait to always provide those great tips. And what a great forum. The only place to hear it is the Total Education Show on the Total Education Network. Have a good day, everyone.